Today, as we open up our program, I want us to pray, and then I'll go over some announcements, and then I'll let Mrs. Crutcher, the principal of the school, come up and kind of give you the vision for what Christian education does in and through the school and through the lives of the faithful staff members that are there. And so she's going to give you a look at Calvary West Christian School. And then we're going to go on with the next grades, and Mrs. Crutcher will introduce the next people that are upcoming, the teachers and their students performing. So let's pray. Let's put this Christian Education Sunday in the hands of the Lord, and let the Lord be exalted today as we get together. Father, we're so blessed to have a Christian school. And thank you for our church who supports this Christian school, Lord, faithfully. We thank you for the members that also keep the ministry going. We thank you for the servants that are always working on the property and fixing up things at the school. And so, Father, we're very blessed to have a great staff that are not there for paychecks. They're there for the interest of young lives being molded and chiseled in your image. And so we humbly come before you, Lord, today, putting Christian Education Sunday in your hands. And I pray that everyone will listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying as far as how we are to instruct our children as they grow up, Lord, that we will always teach them the great commandment, the word, Father, the law of God. And that, Father, the parents will be able to listen to what we need them to do, to walk by faith, not by sight, so that they will keep, Father, the next generation to come, closely connected to you, Lord. And so we love you. We thank you, and we put this day in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, so this morning, I wanted to introduce the principal of our school, Mrs. Crutcher, and I have a great amount of time knowing her. I mean, it's been a blessing to know her for many years as a friend and as a co-worker. And so Mrs. Crutcher has been there to help us in the school. And so I want to introduce you to Mrs. Deborah Crutcher. And Mrs. Crutcher, come on up, and the stage is yours.
Good morning, everyone. It is wonderful to see this place just absolutely packed out this morning. It's fabulous, so thank you. It is good to be with you all this morning. I had a little problem getting here, but I'm here. So once again, it is good to be with you all this morning. As Pastor said, I'm Deborah Crutcher, and it has been my privilege to work alongside Pastor Ariola as the principal at Calvary West for the last 7 years. But first, let me thank you, the members of True Church, who have prayed for and supported school for many years. I know it has been a sacrifice, and it's been a blessing to your lives, I know. But we truly could not do what we do, and we could not continue to flourish and to grow without the support of the church. So thank you for your prayers and your support. So today we want to share a little about Calvary West Christian School and Christian education. Calvary West was originally started as a high school by our pastor in 2010. But as Pastor said, our relationship goes back many years before that, as Pastor and Miss Rosie were part of Mount Franklin Christian Academy, where I was the principal. It began when they brought four-year-old Brianna to preschool, and I quickly learned that Pastor Martin and I shared a common goal of wanting to provide Christian education to the families on the west side and surrounding Upper Valley. Later on, Pastor helped coach our volleyball and basketball teams, and Miss Rosie taught Spanish for us. The whole family was a part of our Mount Franklin family. Martin and Stevie helped coach our teams. Miss Marisol was our librarian, and Marisol and Martin also brought their children there. But after eighth grade, there was no alternative for our students. But God provided, and Pastor Martin stole one of my teachers. I did forgive him. and started a high school. And many of our eighth graders could then go on to high school at Calvary West Christian High School, and it began, it was a great partnership. In 2017, the elementary school was abruptly closed, and our students, families, parents, myself, we were left without a school home. Pastor immediately called me and he said, "We'll take you." And within 3 weeks, he managed to remodel his facility and add space to open up an elementary school. Several of my teachers and many of our students joined him, as I did. And a new partnership became, and we became Calvary West Christian School. This kind of thing doesn't just happen. There are no coincidences in God's economy. Only his purpose, his plan, his timing, and faithful servants obediently answering his call. I have been in Christian ministry and education for almost 40 years, and I have seen too many "how did this happen" moments, miracles and answered prayers, to not believe that God has a plan for educating his children. I am often asked by parents of prospective students, "Why should I put my kids in a Christian school? What makes your school so different?" Well, Pastor's going to help you understand the answer to the first question in a few moments, but I'd like to share about the second for just a few minutes. So let me say first off, I am not here to disparage public schools and teachers who teach and who choose to serve there. There are countless faithful Christians serving in public school, and they are a light where they serve, and I believe God places people exactly where he wants them to be. However, at Calvary West, we offer an alternative to the public schools: education with a different perspective, atmosphere, and a goal in mind. Educating from God's perspective and with his vision. Our school motto is from Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." That is a command, not a suggestion, and it comes straight from God. If any of you have ever been involved in training or being trained, you know that it takes a lot of long hours, hard work, dedication, perseverance. And if you are the person on the receiving end, you want competent trainers with the same qualities. So number one, at Calvary West, we give you good trainers. Not just trainers, servants of Christ, who believe in what they serve, believe in their calling as teachers, and believe what they are doing. Every one of our teachers is first of all born again faithful believers. They understand the calling on their life to nurture the children entrusted to them. I often hear people say, "Yes, but we know that teachers in small private schools are really not qualified, or else they'd be somewhere else." Excuse me? Every one of our teachers are degreed, many of them with master's degrees. We are all state certified, and together we have literally hundreds of years of experience. They faithfully attend yearly professional development opportunities to hone their skills. They're constantly on the lookout for new ideas and new ways to reach their students. To us, your children are not a number or a means to a paycheck. Our teachers see every child as a special creation of God and a work in progress. We deliberately keep our classes small so that our teachers can get to know their students and better meet their needs. We see our work as an investment in the lives and eternity of our students. Number two, which is really number one. We teach from a biblical worldview, viewing the world through God's lens. Not a political lens, not a DEI lens, not a current culture lens, but a truth lens. Every subject is infused with God's word and taught from a biblical perspective. Bible study and memorization is a standard procedure. Morals, values, principles are a priority. We choose not to accept federal funding and therefore are not bound by the constraints of teaching the woke agendas and having test scores be the key objective. A commitment to academics is a priority, teaching top quality curriculum so that students learn the basics so they can proceed to critical thinking and problem solving, the sciences, history as it really occurred, not as it is being rewritten. Patriotism and national pride. Thirdly, I think one thing that sets us apart is our family involvement. We see our place as the third part of the triangle, home, church, and school. We want our families involved in participating. We provide opportunities to be on campus, for parents to be on campus regularly and involved with students and their families. This includes regular family fun nights so that our families get to know one another and our teachers and our staff. This year, we are blessed to have parents involved in helping to coach sports teams, provide transportation, and support our many events. We also have a parent-led Bible study for our middle and high school boys. And we have one of the most active, involved, and creative parent-teacher organizations I've ever been around. We are not a perfect place. Nowhere is. So if any school tells you they are, run fast. We are all fallen creatures being conformed and transformed to the image of Christ day by day, minute by minute. We do offer you a place you can trust your most valuable treasure, your children. We know that you have many choices of where and how to educate your children, and we value that. I also know that putting your children in a Christian school that is not funded outside of regular tuition is a sacrifice for many, if not all, of our parents. And we appreciate that and we understand that. But we do offer you a place you can entrust your most valuable treasure, your children. We will love them, protect them, and teach them God's way. We are different, and we hope you will consider joining us in training up a child in the way he should go. And now I'd like to introduce the backbones of our school, our faculty. And I want to tell you, as I said, I've been involved in Christian education many, many years. And the staff we have is one of the most incredible group of people that I've ever had the privilege of working with. They are just simply amazing people. But most of all, they love the Lord and they love what they're doing. So let me introduce them to you now. Our kindergarten and first grade teacher, Ms. Maggie Mindy, is not with us today. Her daughter is graduating from medical school this weekend, so that is where she is. Our second and third grade teacher, and if you all will stand up when I introduce you, most of you know, Mrs. Blanca Trujillo is our second and third grade teacher. Ms. Trisha Natividad is our fourth and fifth grade teacher. For sixth grade, we have team teachers, two teachers, the Mrs. Snells, Ms. Brianna and Ms. Rosie Snell. Okay. Then for our middle school and high school, we have several different teachers that help us out. The two Mr. Snells, John and Steve. who teach our math and history and language arts. Frank Natividad is not here with us today, but he is, yes. Our science and PE teacher. Ms. June Merritt, our school librarian. Mrs. Lauren Wolfram, who is our 7th and 8th grade history teacher. Who am I missing? Where is Waldo? Ms. Susie Dumont Perry, who teaches our high school language arts and digital photography and helps do our yearbook and many other things. And of course, we could not do without our fabulous administrative assistant, Ms. Valle, Ms. Veronica Valle. And we also let Pastor Martin come in and just kidding. He teaches our high school Bible, and you guys know him. You know what a treasure he is, and I have truly never known anyone with as much faith as this man has. And he's a constant inspiration to me personally and to all of us at Mount Franklin. So, since you have met all our people, our staff, we would like to share with you a little bit from our students. And I know a lot of them could not be here today because many of them are at their home churches. But nevertheless, we do have some of our kiddos with us today. And let me just say, I'm extremely proud of all of our students. For the most part, they work really hard. They're good kids. And it's just a blessing to see what God does in their lives, not only during the school year, but as they go on. As Pastor said, Isaac is one of our former graduates. Miss Brianna is not only one of my 8th grade graduates, she's also a graduate of Calvary West High School, and we are just so blessed to have her back on staff with us. So, let's have Ms. Trujillo and our 2nd and 3rd graders who are here are going to come and share with you a little bit of what they've been learning this year. Come on, guys. You can pretend to be shy, but not going to work. We know you guys. Okay, I believe the boys are going to recite the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer.
Lord's Prayer. 1, 2, 3. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil.
So tell me kids can't learn scripture, because they certainly can. I would also like to mention that Isaiah has been our spelling bee champion the last 2 years. He's a fabulous speller. So okay, it's Not TV Dad, and our fourth, fifth, and sixth graders have prepared a little skit for you.
The world takes a bath. Genesis 6, 5, 7, and 12. God knew what was happening on earth, and he wasn't pleased.
I don't like that. Nope, I don't like that either. As a matter of fact, that is really bad. And that over there is really, really bad.
The more God watched, the worse things looked. And the worse things looked, the sadder God became.
Wow, this isn't how I wanted people to treat each other. These people are just flat out wicked. I'm sorry I ever made them. The only person who's following me is that guy over there, Noah.
Did I hear my name?
God told Noah that he had a job for Noah to do. It was a big job, so Noah paid careful attention.
I want you and your sons to build a boat. It's called an ark. The ark has to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high.
God told Noah to make the boat out of a certain kind of wood. It had to have rooms on all three floors, and the boat had to keep out water.
That last piece sounds like a great idea, but what do I do when I finish the ark?
Then you'll fill the ark with animals. You, your family, and the animals on the ark will live in the flood. Every other animal and person will die in the flood.
I'm really glad you asked me about this ark. I'll get busy right away.
Noah built the ark just as God instructed. When the ark was ready, all the animals got right on schedule.
Look, there are some elephants. There are sheep. And there are parrots and penguins. Hey, look at the mosquitoes.
After the animals and Noah's family entered the ark, God closed the door.
Hi, I'm Kennedy, your favorite meteorologist, and I'm here to tell you it's a beautiful day. The sun is out and there's not one cloud. Wait a minute, there is a cloud in the sky. And another one, and they're leaking. It's a sloppy, nasty mess out there. The puddles are turning into ponds. Ponds are turning into lakes. It's a sloppy mess situation out there.
God kept his promise. It rained for 40 days and nights. As the earth flooded, the ark floated. And the ark and the animals leaned to the left when the waves came from the right. They leaned to the right when the waves came from the left. And when the waves came from both directions, they just stood in one place and jiggled. God kept everyone and everything in the ark safe, which is a very happy ending.
All right, good morning. My name is Mrs. Not TV Dad. This is Mrs. Snell. And then we have the other Mrs. Snell over there, and those were our students. So I just want to really quickly just introduce the students again, so if they can just stand up when I call their name. So we have Mr. Abel. He was the voice of God. We have Abraham. He was Noah. We have Kennedy Vias. She was our famous meteorologist. We have our narrator, Mr. Derek. And I don't know about you, but that was the most wonderful impersonation of an elephant, played by Uriah Archuleta. And the parrot, too. He was the parrots. And then we had Miss Samantha. Where'd you go? There she is. Samantha, she was our sheep. And Athalia, she was our penguins. You know, it's such a powerful message about the ark, knowing the ark, and when it tells us about obedience and how God takes sin pretty seriously, but he takes care of those who are obedient to him, his people. So we get to talk about that throughout the year, you know, different Bible stories and stuff, that they're just not little stories or little fables or made up things, but that it's truth and it comes and it did happen. So, but what I really want to talk to you about is the power of prayer. I guess in a smart device driven world, the world tells us to seek Siri, Alexa, Google to answer questions like, what do I do if my marriage is falling apart? Alexa, what do I do if I'm sad or depressed? Siri, I feel alone. Can you help me? How do I control my anger? How do I be the best friend, the best child, the best spouse, the best parent, the best boss, the best employee? And man, I almost did it. I almost asked Siri, what is truth? Just to find out what in the world this robot would tell me. I couldn't bring myself to do it. So, and that's a good thing. Or how about kids? Have you ever been told this? Let's go to TikTok. Let's see what other kids are doing to handle what you're going through. But at school, we get to teach the kids what God tells us to do when we have these questions. So, if you have your Bible, if you can turn it to Psalm 121. Okay. Psalm 121 says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. And the Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. And the Lord will guard your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forever. So you see, in our classroom, we began our day with praises to the Lord and prayer requests. And our first lesson is Bible, and I get the privilege to teach the children Bible every day. It's not just a Christian school to just for the sake of saying that we're a Christian school. Okay, I'm held accountable as my peers and as my bosses by the Lord. So we kind of take our jobs pretty seriously. And so throughout the school year, we talk about who we go to through our mountains and through our valleys, our great times and our not so great times. And what a blessing that these kids have the opportunity to know who Jesus is at such a young age, because that was something I didn't get to experience until I became an adult. I was told, suck it up, buttercup, or go to the counselors, or here, this medication should help you. So I didn't have that growing up, but praise God, I do now. And now God gets to use me to teach these children who they go to in their highs and then in their lows. And we're not miracle workers. A lot of people say, oh, we gotta send them to the Christian school, they'll fix you. We're not miracle workers, but we are just the vessels that the miracle worker, Jesus Christ, uses to help prepare your children and to point them to him. So if you haven't had a chance to visit our school, come check us out, and we're there. We love you, and so does Jesus. Amen.
The Calvary West Library is literally a miracle from God. We started with a random collection that had very few books. With the help of Mrs. Trishna TV Dodd, who painted shelves religiously one summer, with the help of Miss Blanca as my assistant librarian, she learned to catalog, we've compiled a library that we thought was adequate at the time. Fortunately, because the world is changing, libraries are closing. They are getting rid of books. They're getting rid of that hard copy. If those computers crash, electricity goes away. As we've noticed, our bills are getting higher and higher. The Lord has provided us with three different collections this last year from schools that closed. It's been a process to put those books on the shelves and to get them cataloged, and thank you to our executive assistant who comes in and rescues me every now and then when everything falls on the floor. We've had a mess, and it's been a slow process in getting those done. The curriculum of the library, I was privileged to have from El Paso Public Schools, and so I teach our students every week on how to use a library, adapting our curriculum to a Christian curriculum. Ezekiel, don't you just love when we have to look up a proverb or a psalm and go and find a book about it in the card catalog and locate it? And yes, uh-huh. Samantha, how do you feel when you have to? Yes, she takes my challenges on. She can organize that library in a heartbeat. She knows that Dewey Decimal System. In the meantime, we also try to encourage, very much so, reading. Faith and Miracle have finally finished the first of a series of The Mark of the Lion. It's been a blessing and a privilege. I wanted this opportunity to thank you and to thank the Lord for all that we have been given. I want you to encourage your children to read this summer. Turn off those devices. Get them out, outside playing, and hand them a book. This past year, our circulation was at 2,118 books were circulated. That's not the books that students removed from the shelves just to look at and to browse. We have some outstanding readers. It's a joy to encourage our students to get out of the graphic novels and to choose a book and really read that book. Charlie, I'm very proud of you for what you've read this year. It's been a privilege, and I just thank you so much for your prayers. And this church has been so wonderful to help provide for our students. And I just wanted to thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Merritt. What Ms. Merritt didn't tell you is that we also inherited three book collections from some of the schools around us that have closed. What she also didn't tell you is how many trash bags full of books we have disposed of because they were not suitable for our young people, did not glorify God, had lots of confusing, misguided directions in them. And so thank you, Ms. Merritt, for being so diligent to weed out all those things that we do not want to have in our children's hearts and minds. Okay, now we have Mr. Snell, Mr. Stell Sr., and some of our middle school kids, I think.
Oh, I just realized I forgot my glasses. I might be in trouble. And with Miss Merritt up here, I think I still have that book on the Civil War. So, anyway, I can't see this. Well, you know what? I come from public school. I spent over 20 years teaching high school and middle school for Isleta. And so I come with a great deal of experience from that end, right? What kids should learn, what the standards are. And you know what? I'm really fortunate to teach at Calvary because not only has every single member of my family, including my new daughter-in-law, taught there or teaches there, but you know what? It's a curriculum that's Christ-focused. You know, when I go through my textbooks for history, because I teach history, I also teach a writing course too, but whenever we go through the history books, you know, Steb will tell you there's always information there on missionaries who made an impact wherever they went. Maybe it was Africa, maybe it was in Asia. There's also, we see the conflicts that came about as a result of religious differences, right, with the Muslims and the Christians. So it always takes the lesson to that sort of perspective. So, you know, your children are really fortunate that they're getting that particular model. Let's see, what else? As far as the teachers go, you know, not only do the students get daily Bible lessons, either at the lower levels with their teachers or at the higher levels with pastor on a daily basis. They go through scripture, they go through Bible readings, and they go through an understanding, a deep understanding of their Christian belief. And so they're very fortunate there. Teachers also, we get a weekly devotional every Tuesday when pastor comes in and speaks to us before we begin our meeting. He comes in and he gives us our devotional and kind of sets the tone for the rest of the week spiritually for the teachers. Maybe it's some sort of encouragement, or maybe it's some sort of correction, you know, because we're all human. We need to make sure that we are on the right path, that we're following God's will. And then on Fridays, we have that reinforcement with our service, our chapel service, which, you know, basically follows the same format that we have here, where we have praise and worship, and there's a deep lesson that we're taught, whether it's from James or one of the other readings in the Bible. So there's a lot of Christian emphasis at that school. So you will be getting that if you send your children there, or if you do send your children there. Let's see. Academically, as I said before, I have a pretty good idea of what needs to be taught out in the public schools, and our school is very, very competitive when it comes to that. You know, we have standards that are kind of like established in the curriculum that we're using, and we have an administration staff, which with Mrs. Crutcher, just kind of acts proactively. For example, at the beginning of this year, she came up to me. She goes, "You know, Mr. Snell, I think our eighth graders need a class where the skills they've been taught in writing and critical reading are reinforced. And if you could take care of that and then maybe teach them different formats that they would need for high school, such as, you know, I mean, we've gone through all the different types of essays in our eighth grade class to get them ready for high school. We've done expository essays. We've done article analysis. We've done literary analysis, poetry analysis. We've done argumentative essays. We've done research essays. We're doing another research essay right now, but our last one was on the civil rights movement, and it was, gosh, 8 pages? I don't know. How many pages did you have, Sam? Almost 10? Yeah. You know, so there's a lot of writing that goes on in that class, and it wouldn't have happened if Mrs. Crutcher didn't see a need there and acted proactively, you know. Let's see, what else? The small class sizes that we have are really a benefit to the students. You know, not so much in my social studies class, because, you know, it's basically you go to the book, you digest the information, and you present it, right? We have presentations that we do, and you know, it's just, and I don't really believe in tests, but I do believe in writing and presentation, so there'll be a lot of that in my class. But, you know, with the writing class in eighth grade, there's a lot of, I guess, interaction that has to take place. You know, not only do we have the students get up there and read their papers, whatever they've gotten so far, and then we kind of like make suggestions on the fly, but there's also the reinforcement, because our school is also state-of-the-art when it comes to the technology, because every single teacher has access to Google Classroom, which in high school is really, really important to learn, because What do kids get when they get in college? What do they have to know how to be able to navigate through? Do you guys know? Anybody? It begins with a B and ends with a B? Oh, no. Blackboard, right? So they have to know how to navigate through those things. Not only does Blackboard give them lessons, but it also grades are kept there. So this is a really good experience for students to learn how to keep up when they get to college. And this starts in, well, I started with my eighth grade class, but it starts in high school. And you know, every teacher has access to it. It's great. Like, we've had students who've gone out and they've been absent for maybe a week because they're on a trip, or maybe they're sick, and they don't miss a beat if they've got the Google Classroom. And then teachers can also log in and check to see how they're doing with their grades and any feedback the teacher's given them. So our school has a lot of really good things going academically, not just spiritually, but also academically. And Mrs. Crutcher was talking about the teachers who are experienced. My son is currently working on his master's in education. I believe Mr. Natividad has a master's in education when it comes to math. We have very highly educated teachers and knowledgeable teachers and experienced teachers. I retired last year from public school, and so I bring all that with me, too. Anything I missed? I wish I had my glasses. I think that's about it. But, you know, that small teacher-student ratio is really important because we get to meet the individual needs of those kids. Now, I have a couple of students. I don't know. I gave them the assignment on Friday. And we'll see how it goes. But I'd like to call Josh up here first, and then Kira, get ready. Because, you know, I don't want to put him on the spot, but Pastor put me on the spot. He says, you know, get these kids ready. So I don't know. Well, you can come on down here. You don't need to come up here. It's too scary, trust me.
So tell us a little bit about your experience at Calvary and what you've learned so far about writing.
The experience at Calvary is good. We learn about God and how to do everything that we do at school or anything else to God. Yeah, the school is good. And they teach us how to write better and prepare us for high school.
I will say this about Josh. I've seen a lot of growth in this man since when he first started and where he is now as far as his writing. He's much more expressive. He's more comfortable doing it. You know, going back to the technology, we have certain things that we use in our class, like Paper Rater, which goes through and actually tells you if you have enough transitions or varied sentence structure, or if you're using academic vocabulary. So it kind of forces the kids to do that, and it really helps out. So I've seen a lot of growth in this guy. Okay, who do you want to come up next, Kira? Okay, first Kira. Did you bring a writing sample that you wanted to read? Oh, okay. Yeah, I asked the kids to bring a little sample, maybe a paragraph of something that they wrote that they felt really proud of, like they did a really good job with. So I'm going to go ahead and... Oh, do I need to hold this so you can read?
Sure.
It's up to you.
Ever since I started Mr. Snell's class, I have learned so much throughout the year and have been able to understand more than I could. I learned how to go into more detail in my writing, and it has helped me with my other classes. It has made me think and create more ideas throughout my writing. Also, it has constructed my vocabulary and has prepared me for high school.
Anything you want to say about the class? Or, I mean, anything about the school as far as beyond reading and writing?
School is good.
And then we've got Samantha as well. Do you want me to hold it or? Okay.
I wrote the sample.
Oh, okay. So she brought a sample. What's the sample of? Which one?
The Civil Rights Movement.
The what?
The Civil Rights Movement.
Okay. So are you going to read the whole thing or just a paragraph?
Just a paragraph, the introduction. question.
Okay. So, what was I going to say? Oh, we'll turn it over to you then.
Rosa Parks, in response to her historic event that helped to move the civil rights movement forward, once said, "I was not tired physically, no, I was tired of giving in." This quote made it evident that many people showed the same sentiment toward being treated differently due to race, and they realized how their rights did not affect white people's opinion of African Americans. The civil rights movement was a historical moment that is very important and should be remembered because of what it promoted. The civil rights movement was important in American history not only because it provided African Americans with legal rights and freedoms, but because it ensured the basic human rights for all citizens. The events that created the civil rights movement spanned not only decades, but nearly took 100 years for the civil rights movement to be firmly established.
You know, I will say about Samantha, she's a great writer. And you know what, she's the type of writer too that if I make a suggestion or something, immediately she just absorbs it and goes back and she does it, right? And I think that one thing that she really has going for her is that she's very disciplined. You know, and as a writer, you need to be disciplined because I'm sorry, but people judge you on the way you speak and the way you write. It's just a fact, right? So, you know, you're doing a good job. You're representing. Anything else you want to say about the class? Anything you've learned or that's something that's kind of like been memorable about it? Or
Well, the class, it's helped me like grow in my vocabulary because before I came to the school, my vocabulary wasn't as great, but as I started writing, I had to use a bigger word, so I was it helped me in my vocabulary, and the school, it's helped me get closer to God, so I just want to thank the school.
So that's about it for my class. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. So just to let you know that your kids will get a quality education at our school, and I'm glad we got some vocabulary building.
All right, we have Mrs. Perry. Susie, come on up, and she's got someone who's going to present a monologue, right? Shakespearean monologue.
Okay, so just to quickly highlight things that haven't already been mentioned, I suppose. We also have extracurriculars, right? So we have, depending on the year, we've had digital photography, we'd have drama, we'd had music class some years. So yeah, we have a varying selection of electives as well. So to help present that, we have one of our high school students, Miss Miracle Archuleta, who is going to perform a Shakespearean monologue for you all. Okay. Okay, so I guess just a few other words from me. I'm also a parent of students that go there, so I'll hit a little bit upon that, I suppose. So I always feel comfortable sending my children to school. Okay, we're talking about 8 hours a day, but I know that the people that work there are believers. They believe similarly to what I believe, in fact, mainly what I believe. And I feel that that is a very, very important thing to consider as a parent when you're sending your child to school. Who do they spend the majority of their day with? That's a very important thing. And I appreciate all of the teachers there and people who are my colleagues. But they're also my children's teachers. So I appreciate all of you. Thank you so much.